Turn to Matthew 12 and the 42nd verse. It says, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Now the Lord said that 2,000 years ago. But I can say that today. It's still a very present tense application. That one that is greater than Solomon is here. So, I mean, lots of ways. And these other brethren could do a much better job with that than I'll do, I'm sure. But a couple of thoughts. Obviously, the Lord spoke this, and He's speaking of Himself. When He says that one is greater than Solomon is here, He's talking about Himself. Well, obviously, the very first way that comes to my mind is the Lord Jesus is greater in His birth than Solomon. For we know that Solomon had a natural father and natural mother. He was conceived and born just like all of you, even though he became the great King Solomon, even though, according to the Scriptures, he's the wisest man that ever walked on earth, except the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet the Lord Jesus was born of a virgin. I trust we still believe that in Texas, don't we? That he was born of a virgin, that he didn't have a natural father. But yet the Holy Ghost overcompassed Mary, and she brought forth her firstborn son. So we understand that he was greater in his birth. We understand that he was, when I read of the life of Jesus Christ, and I see the miracles that he performed by the wayside, you can't read anywhere in the gospel that the Lord's going, what he doesn't draw a crowd, that he's given healing, free healing to folks. And you know, he never made a charge for anything that he ever done. They couldn't offer him anything. He owned it all. So even in his life, he was greater than Solomon. He was greater than Solomon in so many ways. And even in his life, that he kept the law of God to a very jot and tittle. He had to, because he had to be that perfect sacrifice on Calvary's cross. I understand that Solomon was great. He was a great king. And I want to deal with him for a little while when I get to it. He was great. But don't you forget that there's one that's greater than Solomon that is still here today. Amen. And he's greater than Solomon. He was greater than Solomon before Solomon was. He's greater than Solomon when he said that. And he's greater than Solomon in 2021. For Solomon died and was buried with his fathers, and his soul and spirit going back to the very one who said that there's one that's greater than Solomon that is here. So we understand that this man Christ is greater than Solomon. And because he says, is here, I can say, is here today. Yes. And I see the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ in this glorious kingdom called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I come on the ground yesterday, and I saw all the crowd of cards, and I see all that's going on, and I see that there's not anywhere to sit inside the church house. And Brother Sonny was so gracious to say, come on, I got two seats right up front. I don't care where I get to sit. Just if I get to be in the house where the Lord's people is for just a little while, because I trust that it's in the house with the Lord's people where the Lord still dwells among His children. I believe this weekend, since I've been here, that the Lord is here. I believe He's been dwelling in the camps at Bethel Church, from inside these walls to outside these walls. But he dwells in the very hearts and minds of his children today. Solomon dwelt as a natural king, and he dwelt at a time that Israel was all together. All 12 tribes were together, and it was peaceable time. It was a glorious kingdom in Solomon's day. But I tell you, bless your heart this morning, all the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is it? Oh, it's so glorious to the one that can see it. Solomon's kingdom, really, it hails to the background when I see the kingdom that the Lord Jesus Christ has built. When I see his kingdom, when I see her, the bride of Christ. And I know this isn't not all the elect lady. Obviously, I understand this is just a portion. And some folks, we get accused, as Brother Tim preached last night, about so many different things. They claim that I've heard it so many times. You old Baptists, y'all just think old Baptists are going to heaven. we wouldn't have enough to sing bass. Amen. We wouldn't have enough to sing bass if that be the case. I tell you this morning, oh, it's a multitude as the stars of the sky, as the sands of the sea, which no man can number. But I tell you that even though Solomon couldn't number it, this one that's greater than Solomon knows the number. Oh, bless your heart, Luke. I read over there where it says that he tells the stars. What does that mean? That he counts them and he gives them a name, each one of them. I tell you today, my friends, each one of you. Now, oh, I give my friend Brother Hewlin credit for this because I heard him preach it when I was a boy. Now, my natural name that my mom and dad gave me is Jonathan Andrew Blakely. And they called on Jonathan. Jeb called Jonathan Cook to lead today. But when he said Jonathan, my ears perked up automatically. When I hear Jonathan, my ear perks up. That's my name, has been all my life. Now listen to me real careful. I don't know that Jonathan Andrew Blakely is the name that was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was. I don't know that. I've not seen it. I've not looked at it. John over there on the Isle of Patmos, Brother Mark, he wanted to open that book. Yeah. He wanted to open that book and loose those seven seals. But bless your heart, he couldn't. He says that he wept bitterly because he couldn't do it. And he said he looked in heaven and looked in the earth and under the earth, and he could find none that was worthy to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And one of the elders said unto me, oh, weep not, John, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. You know why they couldn't find him in heaven or in the earth or under the earth? Because he was stretched out on Calvary between the two. As if the very fact that both heaven and earth had rejected this man Jesus Christ. But I tell you, this man Jesus Christ is all my confidence. He's all my stay. He's all my hope. And praise his name today that he is still with us today. He's still greater than Solomon. All right, now back to my name. I don't know that it's wrote in that name. I don't know that that name that you know me by is wrote in that book. But I can tell you this, whatever that name is that's wrote, I tell you right now, I've answered it at least one time, or I believe I have. In the new birth, I believe I've answered that. And when he called that name from a dead state to a live state, I'm telling you, I answered, and I'm going to tell you, I didn't go looking for it. There wasn't no preacher done it for me. Mama couldn't do it for me. Daddy couldn't do it for me. But one that's greater than Solomon could do it for me. And he called me by the very name that he knows me by. And bless your heart, it's wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life over there. And I tell you, on the great morning of the resurrection, oh, when I get to appear in his likeness on that sweet, glorious, on that great getting up day, I believe I'll be called by that same name and I'll answer that name that day. Oh, bless your heart, it'll take the same power to get me out of the grave that it took me to bring me from a dead state to a live state here in time. Oh, there's one that's greater than Solomon is here. Solomon never could born again. He could not make them love. He couldn't even really make them respect him or pay homage. But I tell you, this one that is greater than Solomon, he does something for us on the inside that causes us to love him. Amen? Oh, he's greater than Solomon. Now, just real quick, and time hastens on. I turn over to 2 Chronicles, and there's several places you could go, but for time's sake, I won't. I want to hear my brother Mark this morning, but I turn to 2 Chronicles in the 9th chapter, and it says, and when the queen, I'm going to read just a little bit to you. And as I'm reading, okay, now let me say this so I don't have to back up. As I'm reading this, I want you to see what's going on here as Queen of Sheba is coming down to see Solomon. She has heard, now listen now, she has heard of his greatness. She's heard of his wisdom. She's heard of all that's going on. She's heard about it. And I'm going to read to you in a minute where it says that she says, I had to go see it for myself. Now, as I'm reading this, I want you to see the gospel church included. What do you mean, preacher? Well, I've heard for years about the Texas camp meeting over here in Texas. I've heard about it for years. Philip's been in my house how many times? I don't know, but he never comes to spend the night. What he doesn't tell me, oh, you missed another wonderful camp meeting. When are you going to go to the camp meeting? I've heard about how great it was, Brother Quarles. I've heard. When I leave here in a little while, Brother David Strayhorn, I'm going to testify with the Queen of Sheba that no matter how much Philip or any of these other brethren told me about your meeting over here, the half has not been told me. So I want you to see the gospel church now as I read about what Queen of Sheba saw. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed, listen now, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Isn't that what we come today to do? To commune with the one that is greater than Solomon? Now listen, it's good to have communion with my brethren, but ultimately our communion should be with the Lord.
Amen.
Of all that's within my heart. He already knows, Addison, what's in there. You might as well go ahead and tell him about it. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows the very intents of our hearts and what's in our mind. Why don't we just go ahead and confess it? Why don't we talk to him about it? Brother Philip so humbly prayed this morning. He prayed for the children in general. But did you notice? Did you notice after he prayed for the children in general, he prayed for his own children that they might get to enjoy what he's got to enjoy. I have the same prayer as Philip. Oh, I'm blessed way above measure. I've been an old Baptist all my life. I've enjoyed the kingdom all my days. Oh, I do, Brother Sonny, and all of you. I hope that John Tyler and Audrey and all of your children that are here, that wherever they are in 10 years or 40, or if they make it to 90, Brother Hewlin, they're still able to gather in a place like this and hear the songs of Zion be sung, hear the gospel be preached, that they might commune with the one that is greater than Solomon.
Amen.
And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants, listen now, the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his asset by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own country, or my own land, of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard." Happy. Oh, here we go now. Now look here now. Look, my wife's got two grandmothers. Still living. Two. One is the happiest person you'll ever meet, and one's the most negative. That's just the truth. She's here. She knows I'm telling it like it is. I love them both. Brother Sonny, I love them both. But one, you can't do anything to please her. And the other one, she's just as happy as she can be. And from time to time, I get long-faced. I'm not as happy, Brother Jeb, as I ought to be. And when I see Miss Reeby, she'll say, "Jonathan, I just wish you'd smile every once in a while." Yes, ma'am. Smile for me. The Lord's been good to you. She's right. It's okay to smile. It's okay to tell the Lord you love him. Do you not like to hear your spouse tell you that you say, "I love you"? I still like to hear Lacey say that every once in a while. I tell you, it's a good thing when we tell the Lord we love him.
Amen.
For sure that he still loves us.
Amen.
But notice it says, "Happy are thy men, and happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king. Now listen to watch the ninth and twelfth verses now. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices great abundance, and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And the servants also of Hiram, and the servants of Solomon, which brought gold from Ophrah, brought algum trees and precious stones. And the king made of the algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord, and to the king's palace, and harps and pastries for singers. And there was none such seen before in the land of Judah. Now watch verse 12. And King Solomon gave to Queen Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, comma, beside that which she had brought unto the king. So she turned and went away to her own land, she and her servants. Do you notice in verse 8 that it says all the stuff that she brought? And then in 12, it sounds to me like she carried more back with her than what she brought. I think I get to say that today. I think when I leave here, I can say I'm carrying more back to Alabama with me than what I brought from Alabama over here. Because I come empty, really. I come empty. I'm nothing, and I know I'm nothing. But oh, how you bless my heart. Not only you and your fellowship, but to be able to sit there in communion as the singing and the preaching and the praying is going on with the one that is greater than Solomon. Oh, I get to carry something back to Alabama. I tell you, it may be 900 miles home. It's okay.
It's all right.
It's okay. It doesn't matter how far it is back home. Jonathan Cook's, 1,500 miles? It's okay. I tell you, when you get to go to the one, to a place where the one that's greater than Solomon is still being glorified and still being worshiped, oh, bless your heart this morning. I'm telling you, it's a good place. It's a good place. It's a good place. Now, right quick before I close, I want to deal with just a little bit here. I want to go to 1 Kings real quick. Just so the cooks that maybe they're not all in here, they're out there cooking lunch, or they're servants out here. They're not servants. We're all supposed to be servants. Don't take that wrong. Yeah. But you've got a lot of help here at this camp meeting that's cooking, 26 pounds of bacon and all the chicken and all that's going on to feed such a multitude. It's really something to behold. It really is. I mean, it's breathtaking when I look it over from just a natural aspect, Brother Mark, to see all that is going on and how that the brethren that are hosting this meeting are trying to cater to everyone's need. And all you got to do is just ask, and they'll do their best to get it to you right then. That's the way the Lord's people act. I trust if you ever come to Alabama, we would do you the same. But I want you to notice what it tells me in 1 Kings chapter 4 about Solomon. Remember now, one's greater than Solomon is here. Remember that now. 1 Kings chapter 4 and Solomon 21. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, from the river unto the land of the Philistines, unto the border of Egypt. And they brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. And Solomon's provisions for one day. Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour, 60 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 oxen out of the pastures, 100 sheep besides harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tibsah even to Azah, over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on all sides round about him. Did you hear what I just read to you? Of all that it took to feed the kingdom when Solomon was reigning over all this, all that, it took all that just in one day. Yeah. But yet the Lord stands there and says, there's one that's greater than Solomon is here. What are you saying, preacher? Yeah. I'm saying, I don't know how many is in this house or how many is outside. I don't know how many are all here. But I tell you, the Lord has got a way of feeding every one of us. Yeah. And not only us, but those that are afflicted, those that are in nursing homes, assisted livings, those that are on beds of affliction, those that are sick, Brother Mark. He's got a way of coming right to you. Right to you in your time of need, in your time of trouble. He's got a way of coming right there and ministering to you to make sure that you don't starve to death. And it's no big thing for him because he's greater than Solomon. If Solomon made sure that nobody in his kingdom went hungry, I'm telling you, I've got confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ will make sure that nobody in his kingdom goes hungry. Now, yeah, that's on a, oh, bless your heart. Isn't it good to you? Oh, now then, I don't know, I was going to get something else, but I want you to see that he fixes all that. Oh, yeah, right here. I close here, Sonny. Here it is. All right, now when I come, Brother David Montgomery. I go back a long ways with Brother David Montgomery.
Yes, sir.
About 1993, Mount Zion Association.
He was a little kid.
I was 14, Brother David. 14. I can tell you what he preached on Friday morning. That's how good it was. You know a sermon's good when you remember it all those years. He was on this fella that I'm on today. He was on Solomon. It come time for the dedication of the temple. Remember, David wanted to build the temple, right? But David couldn't. God wouldn't allow him to. Now, he did allow his servant David, the man after his own heart, to help begin to gather in some of the materials for the building of the temple. But then after David died, Solomon, he was 13 years, I believe it says, building his own house. And then he began to build the house of the Lord. And as he began to build that house, how glorious it was, the temple, when they were settled in the land of Jerusalem. Let me read to you from 1 Kings in the 8th chapter. He says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Question mark. This is Solomon now. You need to read 22. You need to read all of it. I've not got time. It says, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spreadeth forth his hands towards heaven. That's 1 Kings 8:22. You need to read all that. We're at the dedication of the temple now. And he says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Question mark. Behold the heavens. Listen to it now. Behold the heaven and heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. Did you hear what Solomon just said? Solomon just said that God is not contained in some building. He's not contained in the heaven of heavens. He is literally in all places present and nowhere absent. But the very idea, now brethren, that this great God of glory, listen, I know that the Lord Jesus is somewhere right now in body form. This brother prayed it, this prayer, that he would stand and receive that prayer. That he would stand and receive that prayer as a prayer of supplication, as a sweet smelling savor, and present it unto his Father. We have to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, because what comes forth out of our lips is so vile. It has iniquity and sin in it, and it's got to be cleaned up by the great intercessor, by the great mediator, Jesus Christ, to present that prayer to God his Father. But I'm telling you, he's somewhere in body form. He sits and stands all at the same time. Right? I read where he went and sat down, didn't I, Brother Jeb? But yet I find that he stood up when Stephen was stoned to death. Somebody says, well, which one's he doing? He's both. Amen. Remember, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He can sit and stand all at the same time, Philip. It's no big hard deal for the Lord. So as he's standing there on the right hand of the Majesty on high, He sit down one time. Why? Because his intercessorial work, his redeeming work is done. But when it comes to the intercessorial prayers of his people, oh, he's still making intercession. Oh, thank you, Lord, for even a wretch like me. And it says, Solomon says, heavens of heavens can't contain you. I know that this building that I've built can't contain you. Oh, but you've heard the prayers of thy saints. You've heard the prayers of the saints. I tell you where he dwells today, my friend. He dwells, this one that's greater than Solomon, dwells in the bosoms, in the hearts and minds of all of his children right here in time. That's why you're the light of the world. That's why you're the salt of the world. That's why you're supposed to be different. Come out and be a separate people. Come out and be a separate people. Oh, let us go to the house of the Lord where the one that's greater than Solomon still dwells. Oh, let us go and come together with songs of, oh, he's worthy this morning. He's worthy to be praised by poor sinful men such as me. Oh, I tell you, oh, I'm a bankrupt sinner. I stand empty before him. But Lord, bless your heart when he comes and fills my heart and lets me know one more time that, Brother Mark, I'm one of his.
Amen.
It's the greatest feeling that the world don't know nothing about.
Amen.
And I find when I continue to read, and I'm going to close and let Mark have this. When I continue to read, as Solomon is dedicating the temple there that day, it says that the glory of God descended upon that place in a dark pillar of a cloud, Philip. It was so thick and dark that it says that the ministers could not minister. Is that not awesome? Is that not awesome? Oh my goodness, today, would it not be wonderful if the Lord condescended in such a way that we could feel him in such a powerful manner this morning that no matter how able a man might preach, he'd just have to be as Job and say, I put my hand over my mouth. He's too excellent. After Solomon prayed, though, it says the people were all, the whole congregation was standing, and there was a bunch of them. You think we've got a crowd here today? It says all of Israel was standing between the temple and the river down yonder. And I don't know how many was there. Some of these other brethren can tell you sometime, but there's a whole lot of brethren there. All of Israel was there, Luke. And let me tell you, as he began to pray, the ones closest to the temple began to bow down. They began to bow down and worship God. And then think about it, it's an according effect. The ones at the front began to bow down all the way to the river. And I may be back at the very back, but because Brother Mosley in front of me just bowed down, oh, something awesome must be happening. I'll bow down too. I tell you today, my friends, woo! When the one that is greater than Solomon has come, should we not bow down before his very presence this morning and say, thank you, Lord, for dwelling among us for just a little while?
Amen.
Oh, bless your heart. Everybody out in the world, they all worried about getting them a crown and getting them stars in the crown and all that. I tell them all the time, if you get one of them crowns, Brother Hewlin, you won't keep it long. Because bless your heart, I've read Revelation chapter 4. You read it too, hadn't you, Mark? I've read Revelation chapter 4. And those 24 elders, they had their crowns in their hands.
Yeah, they did.
They did. They had them in their hands. But I'm telling you, when the Lamb came walking in, it says they bowed down and they cast their crowns at Jesus' feet.
Amen.
Oh, glory this morning that one that is greater than Solomon is here.
Amen. 163 verses.